There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
We are being ruled by technocrats, and the technocrats have no common sense. We are being ruled by the so-called experts, but it seems like those experts have no common sense, are unable to look at the big picture, and it just gets more and more confusing. We'll talk more about this in a second. We'll take your calls as well. You are listening to Midday Mobile here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Yaffe. Yeah, Sean Sullivan is still out, but I'm filling in today and tomorrow. This is Yaffe. Usually you can hear me on WVNN, 9 to 11 a.m. on the Yaffe program on News Talk 770 a.m., 92.5 FM, WVNN. But it's that's in Huntsville, but it's an honor. It's a privilege to be able to talk to the people of Mobile today. By the way, Yaffe is my last name, just so you know. If you're first time you've ever heard me, Yaffe is my last name, Y-A-F-F-E-E. My first name is Mike. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael Yaffe, or you can follow, like the Yaffe Facebook page as well. So we'll take calls in a moment, but I just want to say, I don't know if any of you are fans of the show Big Bang Theory. So a sitcom, I think it was the longest running sitcom in history, was on 13 years, which is kind of amazing. I think before that was 2.5 men, 11 years. I know you don't care about sitcom history. I like sitcoms. Well, what can I say? But I was watching... I've been watching The Big Bang Theory because it's on HBO Max, and so I can kind of binge through it. I can stream it. And, you know, there's one character on that show. His name is Sheldon. He is the super smart guy. Smartest guy in the room. He's a theoretical physicist, you know, has the highest IQ, all of that stuff. But what you also find out about him in the show... obviously causes a lot of comic relief and everything, but I think it's instructive to where we are as a country. What you find out about him on the show is he also has absolutely no common sense. He doesn't understand basic social norms. He doesn't understand how to look at the big picture. So while he has like a photographic memory, can spout facts, can think theoretical physics, when it comes to like human relationships, he's dumb as anything. But what's really interesting about this is, you know, there was an episode recently where he needed to visit a friend at a hospital. And he didn't want to go to the hospital because the hospital, you know, he could catch some kind of virus at the hospital. He could catch some kind of germs because there's sick people all over the hospital. And the chances are, oh, man, there might be a germ he could check. And he can name all the potential diseases you could catch. He can name all of the different things you could do. And he didn't want to go because... there was a slight risk of that, and he knew about all the risks. Now, this is how he is in the show. Everything has to be about safety all the time. Can't take any risks. Also, everything has to be laid out in specific ways. You know, he has a roommate agreement or something. So his roommate has to fill out some kind of long contract for different things. He freaks out if he doesn't get to sit in the right place, you know, excessive compulsive, all that. But it comes because... he's so intelligent, but he can't understand, you know, basic things in life that we all deal with. And the reason why I bring this up, I swear I'm getting to a point. The reason why I bring this up is I feel like our country is being ruled by Sheldons of the world. We're being ruled by the experts, the so-called smartest among us, the technocrats. So they can, you know, when you think of Dr. Fauci or Rochelle Walensky, yes, they're bureaucrats. Some of this is political, obviously. But if you're a Dr. Fauci, you're going to look through everything through the lens of right now, this infectious disease, this coronavirus. If you look just through that lens of infectious diseases, well, of course, you're going to want everyone to mask up. You're going to want shutdowns. You're going to want to do all these things because there's always going to be a potential risk of catching some kind of virus. And the thing is, this is how technocrats are in so many things in our lives. This is why, say, in California, it's impossible to build a new house anywhere because you're covered in layers of red tape, bureaucracy. And that's because the experts told us this is what we had to do for the environment and all of this stuff. And what happens is, instead of having leadership based on looking at the big picture common sense, we have technocrats. But what you have to understand is that Dr. Fauci, they're not going to look at economic impacts, social impacts. They're not going to be able to look at the big picture. All they care about is this one scientific. There's a slight possibility that you could catch a virus even if you're vaccinated. The slight possibility. So we have to mitigate against all risk now. That's what the technocrats are telling us. And that's why the CDC recently changed its guideline to, in certain areas, in certain crowded places, you have to wear a mask at all times. That's how it is. Because there's potential risk. And I'm like, gosh, this is the Sheldons, the technocrats, ruling us in all things. They might be smart about some of the details, but they don't understand the big picture. And I think that was one of the big appeals of Trump. Because Trump came in and he was doing away with a lot of that nonsense. He was just a guy who wanted to talk about common sense and people loved it. And I think DeSantis is even a better example of that. DeSantis is incredibly smart, but he's ruling, looking at the big picture of all, you know, not, you know, ruling, I say really governing as a better term, Florida. He's governing and based on this like common sense that, no, we can't just shut down the economy. No, we can't just force everyone to mask all the time. No, we can't just force kids to mask and we can't just shut down the schools because yes, maybe it's a possibility it'll prevent us from getting COVID-19, but COVID-19 isn't the biggest threat to kids and it has other damaging effects. So instead of that, though, the Democrats say, no, 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 no. You must believe in the science. See, the experts know better than you. And you can't doubt them. What are you, against science? And what's really interesting, too, is when you watch The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon, not only is he like that, super smart, super paranoid, he knows everything but knows all the risks as well and can't live a normal life because of it. Sheldon also in the show gets really mad every time you disagree with him. So every time someone disagrees with him, every time someone has a different approach, see, the problem isn't him. The problem is you. You're the problem. You're too stupid to understand. The way people live is dumb. If they could just all be as smart as Sheldon or so forth, things would be so much better. And I thought, this is exactly what the technocrats do in our lives. In our world, is it not? So Dr. Fauci, you know, Rand Paul questioned Dr. Fauci. And oh man, did you notice how mad he was? At Rand Paul, or other people question Dr. Fauci, and he gets so mad. You notice that he gets so upset because don't you understand? I am smart. I am the science. I know better. Listen to the experts. When I really believe inside, if you could somehow waterboard Dr. Fauci to get all the facts, the truth out of him or something, he would tell you that he believes we should be masked forever because he's an epidemiologist. So to protect us from all potential diseases, all potential risks, we would have to mask all the time, even though masks don't necessarily work all the time and there's other effects. He's not looking at the big picture. So people are getting upset about this all the time. The technocrats ruling on this. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. You can call or text us. On what we're talking about. I'm going to give you an example as well of what's going on. So let's go to, we have a caller who disagrees with me. Fine. This is good. Let's go to Paul in Mobile. Paul,
hey,
go ahead.
You can disagree. Man. With me.
Go ahead.
Where do you get all this crap you're coming up with? You and lots of people on the show have complained about Dr. Fauci saying at the beginning that nobody needed a mask. Of course, there wasn't but five cases. So now you've forgotten about all of that. And the notion that people like Donald Trump, he never got over a 50% approval rating. He lost the election on the popular vote in 16. He lost the election by 7 million votes. People did not like Donald Trump. What is wrong with you?
Do you know that he got a record amount of votes for a sitting president in a re-election campaign? Yeah, he lost, you're right. But he still has millions of people who liked him, and he's popular in the Republican Party. So you're nitpicking me. Oh, he hung up on me. Yeah, I just want to have a conversation with him. So Dr. Fauci in the beginning said, oh, we don't have to wear masks. Now you know why he said that, right? He admitted he was kind of fibbing because, well, we needed to save it for the healthcare workers. He could have just been honest with us. Here's the thing, though. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about what's happened recently. So before the CDC came out with their guidelines that vaccinated people didn't have to wear masks, remember right before that? They came out with these really confusing guidelines of all these different steps in different situations where you could wear a mask, not wear a mask, and they had charts and everything and all that. And it was so confusing because none of it was based on common sense. And now they're telling people, I'm talking about now, they're telling vaccinated people to wear masks because you could potentially have a breakthrough case, which the chances are very, very small that you do. But you eventually could and spread it to someone else. Now, someone like me who's looking at common sense will say, so what? That unvaccinated person decided not to get vaccinated. Isn't that on them at this point? The government has done all it could do to make sure the vaccine is available, and the vaccine is the best way to move past this pandemic. So isn't it on that other individual who did not get vaccinated, and aren't they taking the risk? And do you think that unvaccinated person is begging for the vaccinated person to wear a mask? None of this is based on actual common sense. And doesn't this discourage people from getting vaccinated because why? Things aren't going to change. So, but there you go. See, where do I come off? Trump was actually unpopular, blah, blah, blah. He still got millions of votes, more votes than any president ever. Just Joe Biden got more. I get that. But you totally missed the point. Once again, someone who missed the complete big picture of what I'm talking about here. But if you want to disagree with me as well, you can call in 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. We got some texts coming in as well. You can call a text. I'm going to give you an example of just one of the experts, the so-called experts, getting very, very upset, you know, recently. But an example of how exactly this works. And we'll take your calls as well. By the way, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to speak with Senate candidate Jessica Taylor and ask her about her Senate campaign and so much more. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean today. I'm really happy to be here. If you want to call in or text on what we've been talking about, you can at 251-343-0106. It's 251-343-0106. Someone did text in and said, wasn't too sure about you at first. This was Dan who texted this. Wasn't too sure about you at first, but that little exchange with Paul, our resident know-it-all leftist who we love, has started to win me over, brother. Said, okay, Yaffe, I see you, bro. Loving the simple logic. Yeah, give me a chance. Come on, just give me a chance. I'm a nice guy, I promise. But yeah, what I was talking about in the last segment is what I feel like is one of the biggest issues right now in this country and how things are governed. That we are ruled by technocrats and we're being choked by the bureaucracy. But the biggest thing is you're not allowed to disagree with it. And I've given the example of Sheldon and Big Bang Theory. When you disagree with them in that show, when they do, he gets really mad, and that's how they are. How could you disagree with me? I'm much smarter than you. Dalton, really quick, can you grab that Rand Paul cut I sent you? So this is from a hearing on some of this. And Rand Paul was making a good point, but a Democrat during that hearing also made his point for him. Dalton, go ahead and play that cut when you get a sec.
When one side presumes that you know the truth and that, oh, everything says that the Delta variant's more deadly. No, there are facts that on both sides. You can argue what science you see and what we see. But the real danger in our country is people presuming to know the truth and calling other senators misinformation. And I presume this would be the argument. Well, why don't we shut down Ted Cruz? Why don't we not let him speak at all? That's what's going on in our country. It's not your time. When it's your time, you can have your time back. It's not your time to interrupt. But here's the point. The point is this is going on across America. There are people on your side of the aisle introducing legislation to tell Facebook that my opinion cannot and should not be heard. I quote from scientific literature every day, and you can disagree with it, but the thing is, your side is wanting to take down the argument and have your way imprinted on the American mind with no objection. That goes against everything with regard to free speech that we know of in our country.
I mean, he's exactly right. You're not only are you not allowed to disagree, well, you need to be shut down if you disagree. And what's very ironic about this whole exchange is as Rand Paul is making a point about the left constantly shutting down debate and opposite opinion, a Democrat in the hearing was trying to do that very thing, shut him down when he was making his point. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up. So he's literally talking, it's his time to talk, making a point about freedom of speech and how we should be able to debate on these issues. And some Democrat in the hearing already starts to try to shut him down. Just totally confirming Rand Paul's point there, which is like, okay, this is how it is. But that's the thing. When the technocrats rule, you must adhere to the experts. If you disagree, well, you're too stupid and your opinion needs to be shut down. Oh, you don't want to vaccinate? Oh, we're going to make you do it, even though they said they wouldn't at the beginning. Remember, wasn't that long ago when Republicans were bringing up how vaccine passports should not be a thing because we're a free country. And a lot of Democrats were saying, oh, no, this isn't even an issue. Republicans are just making this up. This issue up. Doesn't seem like that now when Google and Facebook are mandating their employees be vaccinated. And federal employees under the order of Biden will either have to be vaccinated or regularly tested. And this is going to continue on. More people in Alabama media and other places are calling for mandatory vaccines. Oh, maybe it was a good idea when the legislature decided to push that bill, outlawing vaccine mandates, as Attorney General Steve Marshall has reminded people of, which is a really good thing, because they are going to push for that and they are going to shut down. By the way, I want everyone to look up a book that talks about this problem with technocracy. It's called The Storm Before the Calm. It's actually very optimistic, but it talks about, where our problems in our country, the cycles we're in, and where it'll lead in the future. You're listening to Yaffe, filling in for Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean today. I really appreciate you listening to the show. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to the people in Mobile. Usually you can hear me in Huntsville on WVNN 9 to 11 a.m. on the Yaffe program. But, I got to speak to Birmingham last week. Now I'm doing Mobile this week. It's awesome to be in the state of Alabama. Now joining me on the phone right now is one of the Senate candidates. Jessica Taylor is joining me. Jessica, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into the Senate campaign and all that stuff, I do have to ask, what do you think of this latest CDC guidance on vaccinated people need to wear masks in certain situations?
Well, it's sort of contradictory information. I mean, why would we need to do that if the vaccines are working? I think that they're just moving forward out of fear like they did last time, and I think the people of Alabama are right to be skeptical of it.
Yeah, and there are some that are pushing for, like, vaccine mandates. I understand Joe Biden wants to push it on federal employees. Some companies in California, Google, Facebook, are pushing mandates for their employees. It looks like the Alabama legislature was on to something when they banned that here in the state. What do you think?
Oh, I agree completely. You know, the left continually lives in a self-congratulatory echo chamber. You know, they just repeat their own messages and they act out of fear. And I think conservatives see right through that. And I do think Alabamians were right to push that forward because, you know, the vaccine passports and any sort of mandate, absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin came out of a plane today and he was wearing a mask and a face shield and he's been fully vaccinated. Are our enemies just laughing at us at this point?
I'm sure that they are. Yeah, it's there's a lot wrong with this entire situation. And we know that it didn't work last time. And we see states that didn't shut down their economies at all and fared just fine. So it's, they say follow the science, but they're not even following their own science. And I'm glad that Alabamians are fighting back and others across this country. I think there is a silent majority that's not going to be hoodwinked again.
Yeah, and it's interesting you talk about Alabamians fighting back. I mean, there are some school districts that are requiring students to wear masks. Huntsville City Schools is doing it. Some others are making it optional. I mean, it seems like we should be done with this, but we're not. What do you think about those schools that are requiring children to wear masks when they go back to school?
I think that they're not looking at many of the other dangers associated with that, especially in this heat we've got going on right now. You know, I have three kids starting back in Shelby County Public Schools in a few weeks, and you know, I certainly would not want there to be any sort of mandate there. And you know, optional policies, of course, if you want to wear your mask, wear your mask. But if I don't see any need for there to be mandates, and I don't think the federal government needs to partner with parents on how we parent our kids.
All right, I'm speaking with Senate candidate Jessica Taylor. I do want to ask you, how is your campaign going so far?
It's going very well. We announced 3 weeks ago today, and we launched with a campaign launch video that had me filling a 16-foot model rocket full of liberal agenda items and blasting it into outer space. And, you know, that was really fun and caught a lot of people's attention, including CNN and The Washington Post. CNN called me vile. And, we definitely got the left fired up because they're afraid of people who can fight for our conservative values. You know, they don't want our voices to be heard. They want to just cancel us anytime we fight back. And so we definitely struck a chord. And, you know, I wear those flights like a badge of honor. So it's going very well. We've been traveling up and down the state and out meeting the voters and listening to their concerns, putting our grassroots team together. And, you know, it's just exciting to see the momentum that we've got. We've certainly been down in the Mobile and Baldwin County several times already, and we'll even be back next week. So would love to meet some of your listeners down there. I know you're just visiting. You've been all over the state about like me, but the Mobile listeners, I think, have a lot to say, and they're very concerned with all of these policies and mandates that we see coming out. And I like to get down there and hear from them as much as possible.
Yeah, I just had someone text in, by the way, that said Baldwin County is also mandating kids to wear masks too in their schools. So that's very interesting. You just said that CNN called you vile. Why? What was the reasoning for that?
I assume because of my conservative ideals and the things that I listed out as the policy items that I would want to fight back against. You know, critical race theory being one of those. We have come so far in this country, and to think that we are now going to go back to teaching that we should judge people based on the color of their skin is insane to me, especially in a K-12 environment. And so I'm actually getting hate calls at my office line, and they have somehow got my personal email, and we actually started something called Triggered Tuesdays, where we showed some of the comments that I'm getting, some teachers in California calling me all sorts of names because of the policy items that I said I would stand for, protecting the Second Amendment, fighting for life. I think we've got to protect the most vulnerable amongst us and, you know, helping our veterans and going up there and making strong conservative decisions. We need a conservative outsider who can go up there and not be afraid to upset the apple cart because they've made a mess of things and we deserve better.
Yeah, it's so sad that just because of your conservative values and so forth, that you're going to get all this hate and stuff like that. And CNN's going to call you vile, even though they say they're, you know, just objective journalism. I guess that was just their objective take on things. Sure it was. So you had mentioned there that you're an outsider. What makes you the true outsider in this race?
I have never held public office. You know, there's somebody in this race who has held public office longer than I've been alive. And, you know, we've got a lobbyist and a rhino, and I think we've got to have somebody that is truly a strong conservative and an outsider that will go in with new ideas to get things done, because clearly what we're doing is not working, and we've got to have somebody that can sell our brand of conservatism on the national stage and affect change, and that's what I'll do.
Yeah, and I know when you were running for Congress that you were calling yourself, it was the conservative squad and so forth, because you want to bring that kind of same idea to the Senate.
Oh, absolutely. My plans this time are to become Kamala Harris's worst nightmare. She is an extremely powerful vice president, and we know her policies and ideas are far extreme to the left. And right now she's got that tie-breaking vote, and she's cast more tie-breaking votes already than the last 30 vice presidents. So I want to go up there and be her worst nightmare. If the people of Alabama will send me, I'll make sure that our voices are heard.
So, I mean, I do have to ask you this. Do you see yourself as an underdog? Because it seems right now, you know, you're the underdog that the other candidates are in the lead in the polls, and it's going to be difficult for you to I think, especially beat Mo Brooks. But what do you think? Does that just motivate you more, being the underdog?
Absolutely, it does. I have no problem being the conservative underdog. You know, Donald J. Trump was a conservative underdog. People laughed at him and said there was no way that he would win. In fact, the supposed front runner in this race laughed at him and said that exact same thing. So I think the people of Alabama have no problem with a strong conservative outsider, even if she is an underdog. We need somebody who can work in that kind of pressure and make change. And that's what I've done my entire life, found ways to make a dollar out of 15 cents. And we don't need somebody to go up there who's steeped in the same old establishment ways of doing things, because where has that gotten us where we are right now?
Yeah, you know, I guess that's a good point. I'm speaking with Senate candidate Jessica Taylor. Do you think Richard Shelby did a little bit too much of that? He's the current senator. You're trying to take his slot. Did he become too much establishment for you?
Well, I think we definitely need term limits, and that is something that I have always been for. I re-signed the term limit pledge last week, and you know, that would be legislation I would want to introduce on my first day in office, because I think we do need to get back to a true citizen legislature, as our founding fathers intended. You know, when you go up there and you're just worried about reelection year after year after year, you can't help but become beholden to the special interest and part of the swamp. So I'm a big supporter of term limits and think that's something we've got to get in place to prevent that.
Now, I know one of the biggest issues for you is government spending. I mean, just the out of control spending. And it seems like Republicans have not really been willing to take as much of a stand as you would think. And you have a group of senators right now pushing for a bipartisan infrastructure deal. Is there any reason any Republicans should sign on board with that?
You know, we have got to do something to cut the spending. Absolutely. You know, there is so much money that is just being wasted right now. At the federal levels, even at state levels, I see it every day in my line of work. And so I think even a lot of the money that we allocated in CARES Act Phase 3 still hasn't been spent. Some of the money that they're talking about spending now is actually that funding. So government is not meant to work quick. It is slow and ineffective. And, you know, they can't help us in quick ways like the private sector can. So that money's still tied up in bureaucracy. It's the private sector that has led us out of this pandemic, and we'll do it again if need be, not the government. So giving them more money to solve our problems is the exact thing that we've got to convince people is not the way to go. You know, more government is never the answer, and asking them to come in and solve social problems and to create jobs is just wrong. They need to get out of the way so the private sector can do these things. Individuals with initiative, faith-based organizations, nonprofits, businesses, these are the entities that can lead us forward. And if they would stop taking our tax dollars up to the federal government to chew it up and spit it back out to us 10 cents on the dollar, we could do that. So So I will never vote to increase taxes, and I am not for this big spending. We've got to stand strong and cut some of these programs just like we would do in our own, you know, personal budgets. When the money's not there, you got to tighten your belt, and that's what we're going to have to do.
Now, one of the issues, though, is foreign policy. I mean, we're going to have a lot of challenges in the coming years. China, Russia, terrorism coming back in Afghanistan. You want to cut spending, but how do we do that while also increasing our military strength?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because we're increasing spending all across the board for infrastructure, and they're calling everything infrastructure. You know, childcare is infrastructure, according to the Democrats, but they're cutting defense spending. And defense spending is an area where government ought to be, and certainly basic infrastructure needs. But defense spending, we've got to remain ready to defend ourselves. And it concerns me greatly that we have this out-of-control spending, but yet we're cutting where it matters. So I think that's something that's got to certainly be looked at and reversed.
Jessica Taylor, running for the Senate. Any final thoughts for the audience in Mobile?
Now, if y'all would like to follow us, JessicaTaylorAL.com. You can sign up for our email list and then follow us on socials, also at JessicaTaylorAL. I'll be back down in the area next week and several times in the coming months, and would love the opportunity to meet you.
All right, Jessica Taylor, running for the Senate, former congressional candidate. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'll talk to you again in the future.
Thanks, Jackie. Have a good day.
You as well. So if anybody wants to call and react to her, you can, 251-343-0106. It's 251-343-0106 if you want to react to the Senate race. I mean, my general take on the Senate race as a whole, and I kind of referenced this to Jessica a little bit, you know, she's the underdog. I said, you're the underdog. It's going to be very difficult for you to beat Mo Brooks. And I wanted to ask her, you know, that motivates her, she says. And she said Trump was the underdog, and that's a good point. But looking at the race right now, I mean, Mo Brooks is the favorite. At least in my mind, you can call and convince me otherwise. But every time the left goes after Mo Brooks, every time Eric Swalwell talks about something or they have an article about something about him, it just gives him an excuse to go on Fox News, to go on talk radio and talk about his conservative agenda and why he's fighting against the left. And, you know, and the thing is, so Mo Brooks was the second to announce. Linda Blanchard was the first. But Linda Blanchard isn't going anywhere. But Mo Brooks announced, and his, you know, his whole campaign is about how he's a fierce fighter. And you notice how a lot of the other candidates are saying similar things now. They're saying they're the true fighter. I hear similar words from all three other candidates. And I think that's because they understand that Mo Brooks is onto something, especially in the state of Alabama, that they want a fierce fighter in there. So you have Mo Brooks. He's got that conservative lane. Now you have Katie Boyd Britt. The biggest problem with Katie Boyd Britt, and she's a good candidate, she's a good person. You know, I've only met her once. I met her husband once. But from everything I understand, she's a genuinely nice, decent person. Strong Christian and so forth, which I like. The biggest downfall for a Katie Boyd Britt is she's just not as well known. I mean, she is very well known and very popular with political insiders. But I seriously doubt that the average Alabamian Republican voter knows a whole lot about her, other than maybe they see a couple of headlines. Now, that could change. She's going to spend a lot of money to get her name out there. But name ID probably is the biggest thing in her way. And they are labeling her as a rhino, an establishment type, because she worked for Richard Shelby, and that's going to be a thing. I still think the biggest thing is name ID. So Mo Brooks is out there, and Katie Boyd Britt's probably the best as of right now to go against her. And then the biggest issue with Jessica Taylor, who I just talked to, is she's very similar to Mo Brooks. She's very similar to Mo Brooks in approach, in issues, and so forth. But one of the main reasons why Mo Brooks is popular, other than that he's known to be a fighter against the left, is you know that he's not going to cave into like any kind of special interest. He's not going to cave into trying to negotiate too much with the left. He's going to be the guy that will say the things no one else is willing to say. And that's what gives him an advantage right now. Plus the left constantly attacking him. If you want to call in, you can. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I just wanted to point out that I think any of the candidates would do a fine job, would be much better than Doug Jones, for instance. Any four of the candidates, I would probably agree with them on their votes 99% of the time. So that's why when I'm talking about just observing the Senate race, I'm kind of doing it objectively because, I mean, there's things I like about most of the candidates. Linda Blanchard, I have to admit, I haven't had her on. She seems very nice, but her campaign turned me off with her attacks on Mo Brooks because they were frankly dishonest. They were just very, and I get that's part of politics, but it turned me off and she wasn't very good at it. You know, it was obvious her staff was doing it. And then when she had to talk about it in an interview, she just wasn't good at it. But even if she got in somehow in a miracle, I would probably agree with her 99% of the time. But Mo Brooks has the advantage. And, you know, they're just helping him out today. So there is this story today that when Mo Brooks spoke on January 6th at that rally, before they took the votes on certifying the election, he was wearing body armor. Now, real quick, Dalton, can you grab that Eric Swalwell cut I sent you? Because Swalwell, who has a lawsuit against Mo Brooks, of course, commented about this on CNN today. And mocked Mo Brooks and whatever. Can you go on and play that cut for me, Dalton?
Then Brooks said that as he gave that speech, he was wearing a windbreaker to conceal body armor that he was wearing, which Aaron, to me, is foreknowledge. He knew that he was standing before a violent mob and chose those words anyway. So I think DOJ got it right. That's outside the bounds of any representative's official duties.
Well, if that is indeed the case, a pretty stunning revelation. He's saying he was wearing a windbreaker to protect that he was wearing body armor.
Premeditation and the foreknowledge by wearing body armor. He's standing before a mob that was in the speech. He's speaking from a prepared statement. So again, that not only shows premeditation and the foreknowledge by wearing body armor. He's standing before a mob that was assembled by Donald Trump, that was incited by Mo Brooks and Donald Trump, and then aimed at the Capitol to stop the count and threaten the members inside.
So the body armor revelation is pretty stunning.
No, it's not, Aaron. It's really not that stunning. Stop it. Oh, so, man, Aaron Burnett. But yeah, keep doing this then. All you're doing is helping Mo Brooks. Now, Mo Brooks responded to this today on the Dale Jackson Show. Can you play the Mo Brooks cut for me, Dalton?
But in this particular occasion, the only warnings I had related to potential acts of violence by Antifa and BLM. I got at least two, maybe three of those warnings before I gave my speech at the Ellipse. I had zero warnings or zero indication of any potential violence by any of the Trump supporters who are at the Ellipse. And in fact, there was no violence at the Ellipse where I gave the speech. For emphasis, that's about a mile and a half or a mile, something like that, away from the United States Capitol. Different event.
I mean, remember, Mo Brooks was targeted by a crazy leftist who shot Steve Scalise at the congressional baseball practice. I think Mo Brooks has every right to wear body armor if he wants to in a public situation, especially with what he said there. That's why he did it. It was a public situation, and he's been targeted before. And they try to make it something. Oh, this is a big revelation. No, it's not. Yeah, Mo Brooks knew they were going to storm the Capitol. He knew they were so dangerous. No, stop. So dumb. You're just helping him, though. You're just helping him, though. Just help his campaign so Democrats keep doing this. It's all good. I'll be back in the next hour. This is Midday Mobile. Yaffe filling in for Sean on FM Talk 106.5.